Welcome back to the show. Hope you're all having a great week so far. So we're going to cover another controversial topic this week on the show. Last week, if you remember, we covered the topic of trad wives. That's T-R-A-D. Wife stands for traditional wives. And we had a lot of feedback on that episode with people talking about their own opinions about this trend of women kind of going back to more traditional roles in the family home. But this week, we are going to cover a different topic that is getting lots of attention lately. We're going to cover is the idea of accounts that follow families that are run mostly by parents, and they follow the stories, the families, and their activities. What are they doing day to day? What's happening in their lives? And they show the children in the families, and they talk about the kids are on camera. They are sharing of their lives. It's really begged a question about whether it is appropriate and what type of regulation or laws should be put in place to help make sure that those children are being treated fairly, that they're getting maybe a portion of the earnings from what the accounts are making, these social media accounts, many of whom are making millions of dollars a year. So this came to the forefront recently for two reasons, as I mentioned. One is an article that came out in Cosmo magazine that is called The Sharenting Reckoning, and it's taking basically share and parenting and kind of putting that as one word. And it goes into a lot of detail about these families. It interviews some children of people who are now grown children, who were featured in very popular family social media accounts in the past, and what's happened to them as a result, how it's impacted their lives. The article goes through and interviews the parents of these accounts, many of whom basically talk about how, you know, really this is for them, it is an opportunity for them to provide their family with security and livelihood because the accounts make money. But on the other hand, there are some effects that are happening to the children. There are, you know, there's lots of videos that show the children in, you know, difficult situations, maybe ones that if they were older, they would not want to have people see. So, and some of the children being featured are babies. So they really can't technically give any kind of consent to be in these videos. And it's really up to the parents to decide what goes into those videos and that content. So that article that I mentioned, Cosmo, came out. And that's one of the reasons that this is a topic of a conversation, but also because a woman named Ruby Frank, it turned out that some abusive things were going on in the home. The children were being forced to sleep in very bad conditions. They were also being forced to participate in the family social media account, whether they wanted to or not. And more importantly, there were some serious child abuse issues. It really does also beg this question of what is it that all of us, her millions of followers and all of us who, you know, maybe follow these accounts, what is it that we don't know and where, at what point are we really in a situation where children cannot consent to being featured, and what are the implications of long-term on these children for being featured in this content? So today I have on with me Joey Fortman. You'll hear she is one of the OGs, the originals of the mom bloggers. She started in 2008, back when mom bloggers were just starting. She talks about what she would share of her family. She is now a reporter for KCBS in San Francisco. She's on-air talent. And we talked about, you know, what this whole space is, of how it's evolved from the beginning of back in 2007, when parents started to first share information about their children's lives on social media or on their blogs, to where it is today and how it's evolved. We grapple with the question of does the positive of this, meaning that families are having some financial freedom and financial security that they make from income on their social media accounts, does that outweigh some of the risk that that's going on and how can children be protected. So Joey is my guest today. I really enjoyed this conversation with her, talking about from her perspective as someone who was one of the original mom influencers, mom bloggers, how to think about this. And we're going to jump into the conversation. Joey Fortman, welcome to the show.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we've known each other a long time. You are one of the OGs, the originals, working in the influencer space, one of the original mom influencers.
Mommy bloggers. Influencer wasn't even a word then.
Thank you for correcting me. Influencer was not a word until I think YouTube made it a word. You started out as a radio host. Tell us what prompted you to start your blog?
In 2008 is when I really left the radio industry. I returned the day after from maternity leave. They eliminated my position. So I was a mess. And I was going through the loss of my identity as a new mom. I mean, my son was, maternity leave then was a lot shorter. And I was so confused on who I was. We had just moved to Philly and I didn't know a single soul there. It was really hard for me. I went into a major depression and I had no outlet. There was no Facebook. That's where my business began, really. And I started a blog. Most parents did it, or most mom bloggers, we started it to take care of our kids' history and to document it. But then ultimately, it stuck into our story. You know, please, people like Jill, like it turned commercial. But in the beginning, everybody knew who Jill Smokler was.
And Scary Mommy, for those who are listening. Jill Smokler is the founder of Scary Mommy.
Amazing person. I started around the same time. But there was nobody doing anything to tell me when I Googled, how do I put together a stroller? And at that point, I was like, there's something happening over here. This is something new I think I'm going to tap into. Yeah, I talked about going through postpartum depression, and I'll never forget the time I was in Target sitting at the snack bar with this new baby while my husband sent me a photo of a big, beautiful steak when he's out on a work dinner. And I'm sitting there and I've got to know that I'm not alone about this. I'm depressed. I love motherhood. But I took that as my profile and I put it online. And I told my story. So people knew who I was, which attached it to my family. And now you look at everybody posts everything.
We think that you have such a good perspective on the original mom influencers, mom bloggers. Recently, Cosmopolitan magazine came out with an article about what they called it the Sharenting Reckoning. Which they took share and parenting and sort of shoved it together to make Sharenting. And they talked to a bunch of influencers, of people who they make their money from brand deals. But part of what they're sharing is their children and their children's lives. And there is now this debate, and this article is kind of part of that, the Ruby Frank situation where she was sharing her kids and it turns out that they were being abused. The question that it is really pushing into our consciousness, the popular culture consciousness, is how should children be treated in this world where they're basically working, right? If you're a part of a family that has a social media account and your parents are making money from having you on the screen, having you in the videos, having you on their account, are you getting a portion of that? The article talks about some very popular accounts where they show kids crying, their kids being afraid of things, kids having an egg smacked on their head.
Yes, the whole trend. And when you say about the brand deals and how that all works, is my family was all over the place, but we were stopping everybody in Disneyland to take photos because we were getting these great trips. Yep. It wasn't about I'm getting paid by Disney to be a Disney mom. It was about, wow, what an experience I can share with my family that I think that my readers would love to see.
Right.
My perspective was in a news perspective of, hey, this is a place that someone like me had never been before. I wasn't a diehard Disney fan, and I was able to give them a piece of me and my family.
I recently had Kristen Salendon on. She has, you know, several hundred thousand followers. She posted a video recently, like towards the end of last year, showing, and there was a trend showing what she made each month from her brand deals and from being an influencer, basically. And she said, when I talked to her about, you know, what this means in her life, she said, you know, look, I am able to be a stay-at-home mom with my children and have this flexibility and make, she very honestly said she made like almost $500,000 last year, and that gives them an opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. However, she doesn't show her kids generally in her content. So I think there are those who believe there are influencers out there, and they are, let's say, mom influencers that, you know, make a very good living doing what they're doing, but their kids are not the focus of their content, right? Their kids are not working for free, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And even in the instances where you have these accounts, like the ones that were featured in the Cosmo article, where the kids are a big part of the content. So the question that it begs is, can these kids consent even to have their lives be broadcast to millions of people?
Well, if you look at, I don't know if you remember Ryan's toy reviews, went from tiny young kid who really, when I watch it back now, you can tell that he didn't really want to be there all the time. That turned into gazillions of dollars, his own toy, like it became a business for his entire family.
Very strong opinions about who we think does good content and does content that's not exploitive of their family and of other, you know, of others. And those are the people we tend to work with. But I do think there is this whole group of people who are sharing their lives and sharing their children's lives. And I mean, their children are on camera. They are in the scenes, they are in it. And I think that's the question that is on people's minds now. Like, how do you think about that? Now, look, there, you could say, well, there are children actors. There's always been child actors, right?
They need to be union, if that's the case.
But they now have, there are laws now that say, okay, this is how much they can work, and if they're on set, and there are guidelines. I think the reason that this is in our consciousness now is because here are kids who are working, so to speak, and there are no guidelines. There are no laws right now to protect those kids, but to say this is how much money you have to put aside for them. I do think that there are ways to do this so that you are not exploiting your children. And I think this is what's at odds. What are the effects on my children's well-being of having them somehow in this content, in my social media feed and what I'm sharing about their lives, versus basically securing my family's livelihood, right? There are people who make... Yes. Who are basically able to have livelihoods.
Million.
Yes, because they do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's a range of how much they're making, but I think that's what the balancing, right? How do you justify this using of your children in the content? If, again, we're talking about people who are using their kids in their videos, in their social media content. Well, how do you justify that in terms of what effects it's going to have on them versus the positive effect, you could say, of the fact, well, I'm securing our family's livelihood by doing this. I just think that that's what they must be grappling.
Well, let me ask you, you know, you've been early on with this too. Have you seen the change that, I don't know if all of us, because most of us don't do what we do anymore. Have you noticed from when, you know, this started, how much it's changed to where it is now? Because you're on that side of it all. You're the brand. You're the marketing person that's between the brands that fought for people like me, right? There's probably a point. Tell me, like, what I'm dying to know what you've noticed along the way.
There's no real standardization. But if you think about it, there's no, you know this from television, radio, there's really no standardization for talent at all. It's just like what a particular actor or talent can charge for what.
Well, not necessarily. You've got, just to go back to what you're saying about traditional media, we signed with the FCC that we will not go on and talk about things. We can get fined for payola. Like, I have to sign these agreements.
Right.
In writing that I'm not going to go and abuse my privilege of broadcasting to an audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that then, and I also now I'm SAG-AFTRA. You're going to pay me with a union basis,
right?
That's all. Right. But there's not a spot for them.
What's the tipping point? Like for you, when you were thinking about putting content out, what was the tipping point for you to say, this is either appropriate for me to post with my kids in it, or this isn't? Was there a way of thinking, you or other, like, you know, the influencers, yeah, the bloggers that you came up with,
right?
When you were building your audience, was there a way of thinking about that?
For me in the beginning, I didn't need your stuff, which is why I started Reality Moms, because I had all these experiences and, you know, rock stars. Like, I had a great time. I didn't need your stuff. Then it got like kind of fun, and everybody would have fun with it. And I don't know if you remember the conference where people freaked out over Crocs, right?
A pair of Crocs.
What was that? Blogger. It was like many years ago. And that, to me, I looked at, I was like, over Crocs? What? And like that. But I used to get stuff sent all the time when I was on the air. It was a different kind of, oh, by the way, thanks for sending it, but I'm not promising you anything.
Right.
I can't promise it to you, because then it's payola, plugola, and that goes back to the morals, the ethics, and the laws, right?
Yep. Well, that's, I think, the thing is that there were no laws, so to speak, that dictated this industry, certainly at that time, right? Certainly now, you know, now there are FCC rules and you're FTC compliant and say, okay, if I got something, if I'm being paid to do this, you have to be clear, conspicuous in terms of disclosing that you got something, you got paid, or that you got it for free. Like, even if it's just for free and you're posting an opinion, you have to disclose that you got something for free, that it was gifted. So I do think that has evolved, but those things were not always in place.
We had just started. I already knew early on that I knew how I could make a business out of this because I had the traditional media experience.
Yeah.
And that was 2010, after I was writing about my family for 2 years. But here we are, you have a totally different.
I feel like there is something about exposure to something enough times that you start to think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when we were first doing this stuff, I feel like there was some policing that was happening. If you were a parent and you were thinking about, well, should I throw something at my kid for views? Should I do something just to get the likes and the shares and the whatever, the comments? I think there was more of that sort of internal filter that was going on because this was such a new medium. But now,
yeah, moral and ethics right there of somebody's like, that's not okay.
But now it's like, where you see, right, you see it once or twice and you start to think, oh, that's okay. That's okay. I'll tell you, that's the other thing that I feel like when that's changed a lot. When we were starting out in this space, right, around the same time, I would see, I mean, what I loved about this space is that it was a way for women to build community when they needed that, right? When we were...
Boy.
Right. We had a voice and we wanted to connect with each other. And it was a way to build community. We could share we're sharing our lives and our children about stories of things that were happening as moms, whether our kids were in the content or not, the kids were in the content or not. We were sharing what was going on and what we knew.
But then
today, this generation, especially the ones who've grown up with social media, Gen Z, the youngsters, I think that they believe that just because they have been on social media for a long time, that they now have, that their opinions about whatever, whether they're an expert in that or not, are that the world needs to hear those opinions and that they are valid. And I think, like, for example, what just happened, the thing that blew up with Kate Middleton and the Royals this past, was it last week or so? We've had all this speculation of why Kate Middleton has not been seen and something's going on. And
it was like the Free Britney movement. And then she was in for a surgery that nobody really saw. And then it was just like, you know, it's like, just let her have her privacy. And for her to have to totally tell, she was exhausted. Her eyes were, she's a gorgeous woman. And I just felt like, I was like, I don't want that.
Right. And I think that, and when you think about just something like that, that this poor woman, and I get that she is, you know, her husband is the prince.
She's human.
But she's a human being. And people were saying, well, she signed up for this because she's a royal. You don't sign up to have to tell your children before you're ready to that you have cancer and that you're undergoing treatment, and that you are forced to do that. And that's effectively what happened. She was forced to kind of come out broadly and talk about this thing that she was not ready to talk about. Yeah. And as she said, she was trying, they've been trying to figure out how do they tell their children about this.
Young children. You didn't sign up for that.
Relatively young children.
Yeah.
But I'm just, it's like,
If you look at that, Aliza, that's a really great point right there, because they're expected to be superstars and they're expected to be on covers of things.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we kind of got it to this point, because I think that this is where the heart of it, which is that there's an enormous amount of flexibility and opportunity that you can get from being an influencer, and from, you know, you can make lots of money. It can give your family that financial stability and security. But on the other hand, you have to be taking into account what are the implications for your children who are not really old enough to make these decisions. And we've talked so much about, well, what are the implications of giving our kids social media just as kids? Think about that conversation and magnify that so much more by saying, okay, not only am I going to give my kids social media, I'm going to feature them in my social media where hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going to see it. And what are the implications of that on them? And I think that's where we are right now, is we've got this new medium, still relatively new, and people are figuring out what are the long-term effects of doing. I think that's why it was so important to get your perspective, because you are one of the people who, when I think of, like, who are the OG mom bloggers who really kind of built momentum, figured it out, you are one of those people. And so I thank you so much. Thank you for listening. If you're an influencer or a brand that wants to work with us, please feel free to email us at info@shespeaks.com. Until next time.